Welcome to the Gadget Show podcast, where we dive into the latest tech innovations, trends, and the gadgets shaping our future. And today, we're exploring the world of sustainable power with the true pioneer of the field.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited to welcome Giovanni Fili, CEO of Exiger. Hello, my friend, or should I say, buongiorno.
Buongiorno, yes, hello,
the company behind Powerfoil, a groundbreaking solar cell technology that can harness, apparently, ambient light to power devices. So imagine a future where your headphones, or even your smartwatch, for example, or your mobile phone, don't need to be plugged in quite as much. Exiger is making that vision a reality, and we're here to find out how.
Yeah, absolutely. Giovanni, welcome to the podcast. It's great to see you. Can you first of all just tell us what you do?
Well, thanks for having me. So Exiger is a Swedish company. We operate in the clean tech space, deep tech, impact. There's been many names over the last 15 years since I started the company, actually 16 years. And what we do is that we have invented, developed, and are now manufacturing a new solar cell. And the solar cell harnesses light. So basically, we take light energy and we convert it to electrical energy, electricity. And we can do this with any kind of light, indoor light, outdoor light, shade, candlelight. It's a light cell, basically. And our big innovation is a new electrode material. So the electrode is the layer in the solar cell that sort of collects the electricity and then conducts it out to the cable. So traditional solar cells like silicon and thin film, the ones that you've all seen over the last 110 years, they need some help. They need help from small silver lines crossing the surface, because the funny thing is that they have quite poor conductivity. They have high resistance. So I actually brought a flexible solar cell here. As you can see, this one has silver lines crossing the surface like this.
Yes. And all technology is holding up a... Sorry, Giovanni, just for those listening, Giovanni, and not
all right,
watching,
sorry,
because there was a mixture of ways of interacting with this podcast. Giovanni's holding up a rather cool sort of flexible, almost like a piece of plastic, but it's got these cells. And you're right, the silver lines are very evident.
Yes.
Carry on, my friend.
Yes, and it's the same with silicon cells and all the cells you've seen over the years, over the last 100 years. Our innovation, we have 1,000 times better conductivity or lower resistance in the actual solar cell material. And that allows us to make solar cells without the silver lines in any form or shape or dimension you can imagine. And we have developed a way to print the solar cells. So we have large printers, just like you'd print a t-shirt or a poster or electronic for that sake. We print our secret nanoparticles on large sheets of paper.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's all proprietary. So we make our own nanoparticles. Then we make our own inks. And we make our own paper in a paper mill we have built ourselves. Can't buy any of this. Can't buy the components nor the machines. And we print this on mass, you know, in the two factories we have here in Stockholm. The factories run on 100% renewable energy. We have zero emissions to air and water, like nothing. It's a normal house. And we have environmental permits class B, which is in Sweden, very large. So that enables us to build the largest factory in Europe, this kind of solar cells. And mind you, this is the fourth commercial technology within solar cells after more than 100 years of research.
That's
so
extraordinary.
It's been a long journey, but now we're here. We have 300 approved patents. We're 180 employees. We have signed some really big contracts with some of the largest companies in the world. And this year and the next, we're expecting the large commercial takeoff to take place.
Wow.
Gosh, what a start, what an opener. I think we're both absolutely blown away
by that, frankly. I'd say what's the silver lining, but I think the answer is to that is there is no silver lining. That's the point. Yeah.
So Powerfoil, it's already in, you know, consumer products. So, you know, is the end game here charging cables, will they become obsolete? And are we nearly there?
That's for sure. My vision is to touch the lives of a billion people by 2030. And we want to do this by integrating Powerfoil into the devices that are selling in the billions and billions already per year today, such as helmets. More than 500-600 million helmets are sold every year. We can now transform a helmet into a smart helmet. You wouldn't even see it. I'm holding up now again. I'm holding a helmet here in front of me that you're able to see. Mm-hmm. So this is a normal bicycle helmet, right? But the helmet is also the solar cell. And the solar cell is the helmet. So this helmet has self-charging capacity, where we have safety features, in this case, a safety light in the back, which will automatically charge itself, power itself, so it will protect you as you use it. There's no on-off button, there's no charge port, it just happens, seamlessly integrated.
That's absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, so the whole point of the technology that we developed over the, it took us almost 10 years to come in before we could start to manufacture. The idea was to develop such a resilient and flexible and versatile solar cell so that we can integrate into other companies' products.
So has that been the biggest challenge then,
yes,
Giovanni?
Huge. Huge challenge. Because now, again, you can't see, listeners, but please welcome go to our website, check it out. We have for example, we can make the solar cell look like leather. I'm now holding up a leather bag in front of me. So right. the leather, again, is the solar cell.
So you hang on a sec. Can I just ask you? That wasn't just a leather bag. That was a leather bag with solar cells on it for real. Like because you could just be holding up a normal cycling helmet or a bag. And forgive me, challenging you. Does that have your technology, the bag you just held up, integrated within it?
Absolutely. And I want to correct you there. It's not just a bag with a solar cell on it. The bag is the solar cell.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So we develop product-integrated photovoltaics, so product-integrated solar cells, which means just like this bicycle helmet is on the market since 4 years. So it's sold out now. But this is so...
That's been on the market for 4 years.
Yeah.
And so we're just cutting it onto this now.
Yeah.
This is getting better by the day. Let me jump in. I've just got to jump in, right? So, okay. So what I see here is obviously sort of ignoring the maths for a second, right? As a gamer, I'm often promised battery life and performance, right? And I understand that you're not promising to power the next Steam Deck by virtue of just the ambient light in your gaming room, right? But where is it going and in what time frame in terms of more useful performance than the very impressive light on the helmet, right? Mm. Or whatever the bag does. Could you give us some examples so that our listeners and viewers can get a grasp on it?
And can you just also tell me what the bag does, because it looks...
Yeah, you love that bag, didn't you?
Yeah, I do.
Hilarious.
We actually won the Swedish Grand Design Award for this bag. We're not bag makers, but we had two brilliant Swedish women who designed it for us, and so now we're working with some of the coolest brands in the world in terms of bags, smart bag. Everybody wants to know where your bag is. If you have a valuable bag, where is your bag? At all times, you will be able to track these bags because they'll have integrated trackers with an unremovable power source.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. It's just one example. So the main categories we're addressing now or markets are, for sure, headphones, where we have already released three different headphones over the last 3 years with companies such as Adidas, Urbanista, Philips. We have lined up some of the largest customers in the world and within headphones now, what's going to come the next period of time. Same thing with hearing protectors, where you don't want to walk around hearing nothing when you wear hearing protectors.
Yep.
You want them to be connected with smart microphones and noise cancellation. And microphones that you can talk to your fellow...
Giovanni is holding up an actual pair of ear defenders with a microphone, by the way.
So this is a product by 3M, which is the largest company in the world in this field, a huge American company, $60 billion market cap, roughly. We have a global mutual exclusivity contract with them, so they can only work with us within this personal safety products, and we with them. So this is coming. We launched two products last year. We got several more coming really soon with them already being lined up. So the smart worker area is going to be huge. Couple the smart hearing protectors with smart clothes. And I'm holding up again another helmet. And this is a smart helmet with the visor and the solar cell is here in the center. And these technologies will enable live measurements of a lot of different things, like health data, positioning. If you think of a construction site, who is wearing which helmet? What kind does that person have the proper training? Compliance issues, insurance issues. Someone gets hit in the head in the construction site. Something falls down, let's say, from, how hard was it? What kind of impact was it? What kind of measures should we immediately take to help that person to recover as fast as possible? We measure, heart rate, breathing, pulse, anything. Oh, she's lying down. Why is that person lying down? Should be standing up. Who is the closest? Giovanni, please go around the corner, check what's happened there. So it's about proactive safety and reactive as well. But a lot of it is proactive and making sure there's compliance. Is everybody wearing the helmet on the construction site? Yes or no? Is the helmet buttoned? Why, there's so many things you can do to facilitate the lives of us and in private home, of course, but on the professional sites, huge potential, massive potential.
So Giovanni, the primary drive behind this was safety in mind, was it? And if that is the case, can it be upscaled to things like laptops?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that safety was the first thing that came to mind when we started. In the beginning, you sort of try to find product market fit. But as you develop the technology, my thoughts around strategy is, why did Google Glasses fail? Google had all the resources in the world to do any kind of research beforehand, service. They know everything about everybody. Why did it fail? Because it wasn't important to people. That's why it failed. It wasn't important. So our strategy was, let's try and find areas that are important to people. And how do you define that? Well, one is, of course, safety is very important for companies, for government, for societies, for everybody, for parents. So kids' products, huge opportunity there. But also like products that we buy because we like them. We love our smartphone. We love, this year, more than 500 million headphones, over-ear headphones are sold. And there's just so many examples, right? So we started with products that we like ourselves, where we have a great use case. So all of the products I've been talking to you today about, we have several hearing protectors with 3M. We have several headphones. We have 10 products so far launched on the market. All of these, they have self-charging capacity. You don't have to care. They will just charge themselves. You don't have to do anything. It just happens. And as that happens, as people experience this, we can see a clear change in behavior that people become light conscious. They're like, they don't have to go and search for two holes in the wall. They're searching for a bright spot where to place their product when they're having the meeting. It just changes, how people think.
Yeah, it does. It's got quite a nice message, that. How about this? Let me ask you this question. What's your kind of dream product? So your technology, its efficiency has evolved over the next few years. Where does it go? Where do you want to see it?
I think everybody in the whole world wants to come to see you on the phone. I think that's like the dream. That's very difficult for a few reasons. Oh, even though people become light conscious, they change behavior. They search for the light, and that multiplies the charging effect a lot. But phones are difficult because you typically have them in your pocket or in your jacket or like upside down and so on. So we work around the phone, like the bag, for example. You have a large battery in the bag. The bag can stand in the sun. We sit in the shade. We have a nice drink. The bag can charge like crazy in the sun next to me without me getting all sweaty and hot. And then I can charge anything I want from the battery. Same with clothes, same with the helmet.
Nice.
So we work with devices around it. But I think in the near term, one of the largest and absolutely coolest products, it sounds a bit boring, but it's about the connected store. Because if you think about retail, the wet dream for retailers, it is to get online shopping insights into retail.
Like, right.
Who's the customer?
Yeah.
Why is she here? Why did she take a Heinz ketchup, but in the end bought the Hellmann ketchup? What happened there? How are people moving around in the stores? You know, consumer behavior in the stores. If you can get a fraction of the knowledge they have about us when we shop online into retail, it's going to be so much better customer experience as we're in the stores, and the stores will be more efficiently operated. All of this is about dynamic pricing, reacting to things that happen. Just give us a much better shopping experience. And to get that, I mean, today there are these AI-powered decision systems in the stores. They help you to become a really good store owner. I mean, really, really good. But to get to do that, they need data. They need to gather data in the stores. Sensors, cameras, light, motion, you can sniff the fruit, the gases from the fruit. Okay, the banana is ripe now. Okay, immediately, well, let's go for sales on bananas. And what else goes with banana? Well, banana ice cream is good. Ice cream, maybe peanut butter.
Peanut butter, exactly.
So
Do a deal.
Yeah.
Two for one.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But in order to get all that data, you need sensors. And to power those sensors.
Maybe a bagel, Giovanni, as well.
Bagel.
Do you know what I mean? If we're stacking up.
I totally agree. Totally.
Come on.
I love that. In Sweden, it's not that popular to have peanut butter.
What?
We eat it all the time in my house. My kids love it.
No, but that's interesting. I didn't expect to go down the retail route.
Because the thing is, the more data they collect, the better the store is for us as consumers and the store operators. But the more data they gather, the more often they need to change batteries in all of these sensors. Because you can't cable them. It's impossible. So that's where we come in. So we have developed this sort of, we have the highest power output in the world for indoor solar cells by far, that is commercially available. By putting these solar cells on the stores, on the shelves in the stores, and we have a global exclusivity right with the largest company in the world, 50% of the world market, and we're going to just recycle the light from the lamps and power the smartness in the stores.
And to that end, Giovanni, as well, because you also mentioned Google Glass as a reason, like you looked at that project, why did that fail? Actually, their biggest desire of Google Glass was to do what you're saying now, wasn't it? It was to take the data from the buyer and the buyer's behavior. That's what they wanted to sell to shops. So actually, you'll be able to do that, but in a more open and honest way. I think.
Yeah, apparently the Amazon Fresh, whatever it's called, it's a bunch of guys in India, isn't it, watching cameras. That's what I heard. But apart from that little faux pas.
No, but we're seeing a revolution now, with all these self-powered devices. Just imagine, everything just powers itself. And the most power-hungry thing that we can power today would be like a large iPad. Tablet style thing. We can't power a laptop or a phone yet because they're really power hungry, but there's just enormous amounts. I mean, wireless speaker, we did that. Self-powered blinds, we did that. Smart helmets is coming on a huge scale soon. Headphones, we have all the big brands working with us now. We got some real bumps coming later. I mean, so it's all coming now.
I wonder if you bypass mobile phones and jump straight to glasses for the augmented reality. I understand there's not a lot of surface area there, but you could widen these bad boys and you could maybe put something in there. But they're obviously on your head and they're outside and they're there. So I wonder if that might be a thing.
Many people are asking for the smart glasses. I know that the ones now with Ray-Ban and Meta, they're selling more and more.
Yeah.
And they also come with a case maybe.
There we go. Oh, see, there's always an angle.
You like the cases, don't you? So, it's a different way of thinking, isn't it? With sustainability being a big focus here, obviously. Mm-hmm. How does Powerfoil compare in terms of the environmental impact versus batteries, for example?
Yeah. No, it's a very good question. And if I just go back to these super nice hearing protectors that I showed you before that were launched last year in May with 3M, I mean, 3M invested 30,000 man hours to develop that product. It's a completely new platform. It's got amazing technology in it, and Powerfoil is running it entirely. Previously, you had to change batteries every second week, disposable batteries. Now they have a small rechargeable battery. And if you consider your, I think the typical use lifetime for this is around 3 years. That's 150 batteries that you don't buy, store, dispose of. And in the US, it typically goes to landfill. Europe is slightly better, a little bit goes to recycling, but not a lot. It's just a massive improvement. And you multiply that then with X million of you.
One set.
Yeah, exactly. You multiply that with 10 million units, that's 1.5 billion batteries we save for the world.
And could this tech play a role in developing countries or off-grid situations where, you know, perhaps it's difficult, power access is limited, for example?
Absolutely. That's one of the main advantages of the cell is that we don't need direct sunshine. And typically the traditional solar cells, they're very brittle. Like if you look at silicon cells, they're super brittle. They break, even if you don't see it, they get micro cracks. And as you use the solar cells, when they get a lot of current runs, flows through the cells, these cracks will be accentuated and eventually it will break the entire cell. You will not see it until you start using it. So our cell, and if it's dust on the cell, they won't work, and you know all of that. If it's cloudy, they won't work. So our cell is super durable. Again, we are a helmet. We are the helmet. Mm-hmm. We are an oil rig platform approved hearing protector. We're a construction site here. So it's just another level. No one else can do pass with the tests we do. I mean, one test that we do is we take the solar cell. This is a quite crazy test, actually. We take the solar cells and we place them in the tumble dryer. Okay? And in the tumble dryer, we run them for 10 minutes with 20 golf balls inside.
No way.
I mean, you could just, nothing, almost nothing at all passes that kind of test. That's the kind of test we do. Because as we do products that people rely on, you know, safety helmets, you know, whatever it is, they need to work. You need to know you can trust them. And that goes really well for developing countries as well. You know, it's sturdy. You can pack it up in your bag. You bring it out. It's a lot, typically a lot of light in these countries, but it's a lot of dust as well in the air. Mm. It's dusty. And this needs to work even when it's dusty, and ours do. And if you can think if you think about systems where you have a village and you have, that's why I said before, you want to touch lives of 1 billion people, because in the family, maybe you have 2-3 devices that you then can share, you know. So, but a lot of people, they will be able to use it for many different things. And in the evenings, you can also pool these things to get access to a larger amount of, joint energy. And one of my, I don't want to say pet projects, one of my most important projects for me as the founder and as a person is about I'm really interested in education and equality. Sweden is a great country. We have come quite far in terms of equality. It's not popular in the US at this point in time. I say to you, I have a lot of data that, you know, shows that if you have equality, you make more money. So, and one of the things that we've been looking at for many years is the possibility to make self-powered reading/writing devices. So like a notepad, like the, for example, Remarkable, the Norwegian company. It's like it's like a Kindle. You can write on it as well, right?
Remarkable, yeah.
Remarkable. What if you have those with Powerfoil cover, or the backside is Powerfoil, so you'll always have power on it, and it'll be connected to the 4G network or 5G, and then you can use those in schools. So everybody would have access to the latest, you know, materials in schools, not old books that miss pages. And everybody have access to the latest information. And when you have tests, you can run national tests that are sent out by the federal authority or someone. Tests, you can write the test, and it's then centrally, they correct them and grade them centrally, so you can bypass like local corruption and who knows who and my dad knows your dad, etc. All the crap that goes on in many of these developing countries. And this typically is a very difficult situation for young women, especially. So by doing this project, this is going to happen sometime in the future. I'm going to get sponsors to do it, like the telecom companies and others, and I think there's going to be a huge impact.
That's amazing. I mean, you instantly make me think of Afghanistan, obviously, at the moment, where there's so many issues going on for women, and they're certainly not alone. But then I think, God, they'd have to hide them or something like that. But it's hard for us to imagine in this country and how difficult it is to get an education in certain countries. And what extraordinary idea you've got there that could make it so much more widespread and simple, and just developing countries generally to have that a format of something that's very even. Incredible. So if you look ahead, let's say 5 years, then where do you see Exigen, and how will it have transformed lives, or the ways that we use gadgets, do you think, Giovanni?
I think in 5 years from now, we will have a couple of more factories up and running, at least one more, probably a couple in other continents as well. We will have become the standard in many of our product categories. There's a huge opportunity to become the standard. So you would, like, rollerblades became the name for inline, you know, skating, and Xerox for the photocopy of paper and so on. I think that Powerfoil will be expected in many products. I think that we have the chance now to see, a whole generation that grows up now. They will expect self-powered capacity. They will expect to have the power in their own hands to charge their devices. They don't want to be dependent on middle-aged white man like me. Hey, Dad, can I put, you know, something, two holes in the wall? And I think if you go even further ahead, like one generation, they're going to laugh at us. You know, when my dad was young, they had something called cables, you know, like metal threads that they put, you know, in the wall and into the device. This is ridiculous. What morons. I think that's it. So, you know, it's all going to come. And this, I think we see a start now of the self-powered revolution. That's what I think. And
wow,
yeah.
Can I ask you? I hope this is not too political for you to answer. Just don't if you can't. But do you come up against any resistance because of what you're doing?
No, not yet.
Okay, good.
Not yet. So we partner with the battery companies, for example. That's a question I get a lot. What about battery companies? Yeah, what about them? We work with them because if you have a constant supply, a trickle charge or a strong charge depending on the light level, but always a little bit of energy charging up to the battery, you can think about new battery technologies, new battery chemistry, super thin flexible batteries below 1 millimeter thick that you can imagine that, and then you have our cell. So our cell and this battery together is like 1 millimeter together and flexible. Why is that not the backside of the laptop? Yeah. Why is that not, you know, et cetera, et cetera? So what we do, we are an enabler of other technologies, of new behaviors. And I think that the behavior thing is going to be the one that really changes our society the most.
I love it. Well, I feel like I've been stood on stage with a really good TED talk. It's been really, really inspiring, Giovanni. What an amazing technology. I'm going to put you in my little speech I've got coming up in the next few weeks. I've got to talk about the future of technology on stage, if that's okay with you. I'm going to mention your amazing technology. What a fabulous interview.
Yeah, it's been really incredible listening to you. Thank you for enlightening us and opening our eyes. And hopefully everybody that's been listening has also come on the journey and sort of slightly changed the way that you think about charging and wearing various different clothes, bags, you know, whatever it may be.
There it's, goes the bags plug again, look. Yeah. Yeah, I think you've got a customer, Giovanni.
No, but just, you know, the idea of it is really terrific. And obviously the incredible hard work that you've put into this. It must have been a blood, sweat and tears journey to get to where you are today. So huge congratulations and thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much. You're way too kind. I want to end with our three important sentences that defines Exigir. Exigir, inspired by nature, augmented with science, engineered for humanity.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Wow.